today on The Travel Guys.
One of the things that we work hard on here on this radio show is making you a smarter traveler.
Today, we have our two best consumer advocates to help us. At 3:20, Chris Elliott from USA Today and The Washington Post talks about people who fake it at the airport and the true value of price guarantee.
At 3:35, Ed Perkins joins us to help you with your next car rental. From insurance to Ed's own list of gotchas to avoid, Ed will make you smarter the next time that you approach that car rental counter.
Finally, at 3:50, we put on our entertainment hats.
Tom, you know, Wayne Newton has been a part of Las Vegas for over 50 years. And now, for the first time today, he's a part of the Travel Guys. Wayne is our guest to talk about how you can tour Casa de Shenandoah, his former home and estate in Las Vegas.
And Mark, we'll start the show off with the travel news in just a minute. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I want to Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Mark Hoffman here with the travel news for this Sunday, October the 9th, and thank you for joining the Travel Guys for what is a very special show. As you heard Tom say, both of us are traveling on opposite sides of the country, so today we have come up with a show that we think offers you some of our very, very best interviews over the last year or so. Before we're getting into the travel news, first thing I want to mention here is if you are scheduled to travel anywhere to the hurricane-affected parts of the country, there are a couple of things that you really seriously need to do. First of all, before you take off, obviously you need to reconfirm that your flight is going. But just because your flight is going doesn't mean that you're in the clear. You need to make sure that your hotel is open and accepting guests. So make sure that you reconfirm your hotel reservation. Don't assume that the hotel would contact you if they were not open or not completely open. Also, another thing that is of great concern is car rentals. In some cases, rental car companies were probably able to get some of their vehicles out of harm's way. In some cases, they may not have been able to. If they didn't get their cars out of harm's way and it flooded, then everybody knows that water is not good for car engines, and a whole lot of water is really not good for car engines. It's possible you could get on the other side of the country expecting to pick up an automobile and find out that it's not available or that your car rental company is not open. This particularly applies to secondary car rental companies. So make sure that everything that you have that you need to get around is available. Also, I would strongly suggest to you to check locally for canceled meetings and things of that sort. It's entirely possible the business you're going there for may not be happening, or you may not be able to access the area that you need to get to. So make sure that the roads are open and plan for things not to go perfectly. Even if you find that your airline and your car and your hotel and your roads are open and stuff like that, these folks are going to be recovering for a while from a really disastrous situation. So cut them a little slack. Make sure that you take an extra, you know, pair of clothing. Maybe you don't check the bag this time because you want to be able to have it with you. Just plan for things not to be perfect. And lastly, if you don't have to go to the southern part of the country that is hurricane impacted, then stay away. It's going to take the airlines a day or two to get service restored, get planes and crews back to the places that they need to. So beware of that if you are traveling to some of the hurricane impacted areas. And some of the surrounding areas may also be impacted because they may be involved in assisting some of the folks who have been affected by the hurricane. So if you're headed east, a word of warning. Hopefully that makes you a little bit smarter traveler. Here is a story from Austria that's a little bit macabre. A customs agent at an Austrian airport made a gruesome discovery in the bag of an arriving passenger. They discovered human intestines among the personal items of an unidentified female passenger. The woman is said to have arrived in the country with her cargo on a flight from Marrakesh in Morocco. Agents seized the woman's luggage. The lady said that she carefully packed the organ because her husband died in a hospital. She wanted to have the tissue tested because she thinks her husband was poisoned. What a bizarre... There is no law in Austria against carrying parts of the human body. She was not charged. She's not facing any charges. But it still is a very interesting story. Here's a story with a little bit of a local twist. The Delta Queen steamboat. Of course, the Delta King is now permanently moored in Old Sacramento, but the Delta Queen sister ship was built in 1926 and listed as a National Historical Landmark until 1989, is the last remaining authentic link to a 200-year tradition of commercial cargo and passenger steamboat transportation. The Delta Queen is now listed as one of the 11 most endangered historic places by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. So it's their goal to restore the ship and get her back on the water, hauling overnight passengers up and down, perhaps the Mississippi River, as she did until the Miss Delta Queen had a very special designation from Congress that allowed it from 1968 to 2008 to be grandfathered into a situation that allowed the Delta Queen to still be on the water. When that legislation expired, it wasn't renewed, so without it, there is no Delta Queen. So if you are interested in getting the Delta Queen back on the water, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link there that will tell you what you can do to help with the Delta King. Here is an interesting item from Hilton Hotels. They have their annual raising and lowering of hotel points and things of that sort. Here in Hilton, of course, is really bragging that in this particular case, twice as many hotels went down in category as went up. And at first glance, you would think to yourself, wow, that's kind of unusual. Hotels generally do not reduce the amount of points that are required to redeem to get free rooms. But in this case, there's a little bit of an asterisk next to this. The reason that Hilton has so many hotels dropping so many categories, in many cases the hotels they reduced dropped three or four categories, when you look at the list, you will see that almost all of the hotels that dropped are in Turkey. So Hilton is obviously trying to encourage people to go to a part of the world that many folks in this part of the planet, I'm sure, would not consider to be particularly safe right now. Turkey, of course, had the explosion at the airport and has had some other terrorist activities. So many of the Hilton hotels have been dropped by two or three, or even here's one that's dropped by four categories. Only five U.S. hotels dropped, each by a category apiece. And lots of U.S. hotels increased, particularly with the Hilton hotels here. The increases have come that might impact folks from Sacramento. Several of Hilton's properties in the San Francisco airport area, the DoubleTree by Hilton at the airport, the Homewood Suites, and the Hilton Garden Inn, all increased by a category. So that means it will cost you more to redeem those points to redeem for rooms at the Hilton next year. All right, that's your travel news for today. Coming up on the program now today, we have a really great, I think, collection of interviews from you. We have our two favorite consumer reporters, Chris Elliott and Ed Perkins, on hand. And also, a ways back, we were able to corral Wayne Newton. He came on with us and talked to us a little bit about his career in Las Vegas. And, of course, his estate, the Shenandoah Estate, is open in Las Vegas now for visitors, and you can go there and see his estate if you wish in Las Vegas. So he talks a little bit about that. And Ed and Chris have some great tips for you that will help make you a smarter traveler. You can also go to travelguysradio.com and see news stories for connections to news stories for this week, some other items. We always put things up on our website that we find that we think are of interest. There aren't always time to mention all of them in the newscast. And at the top of the website, you will see an opportunity there for you to enter your email address. And if you do that, we will send you a link to the Travel Guys Radio podcast every week. So if you miss the show, you'll have an opportunity to catch it. So that is it for me today. That's your travel news. We have a great program for you. Tom and I will be back live with you next week. Have a great week, Sacramento. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Welcome to the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here on a weekly basis between 3 and 4.
here on KFBK to, in some way, help make you a smarter traveler and maybe improve, well, your travels wherever you may go on a regular basis. And we like to bring on people smarter than us to help in that particular venue. Mark, bring on our guest.
Well, so we went and got the man who wrote the book, How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. His column appears on Sundays in the Sacramento Bee Travel section. He is an advocate for consumers on many different levels, and I also will mention has an outstanding website that we'll give him a chance to talk about here in just a minute. Christopher Elliott is our guest on the Travel Guys. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So, the new website, it's really quite a production for folks who haven't seen it. Tell us a little bit about it and how folks can find it.
The site is Elliott.org, like my last name. So it's E-L-L-I-O-T-T, two L's, two T's. And it is a collection of advice, travel stories, new cases, and tips for how to be a smarter traveler. Plus, get this, we have the names, email addresses, and phone numbers for all the top executives at the big travel companies.
Oh, my.
So, how cool is that, Tom?
Yeah.
Every day you go on this website, and every day, just about every day, they provide you with a different travel entity's contact stuff. And I can tell by some of the responses on the website that these numbers are helping people get to people who can make things happen for them. When people, you know, you've got that situation, that ticket that the airline said they would refund it, and they never did. And you call them up, and they act like nobody has any clue as to what's going on, and you can't get your money back. Well, Mr. Elliott's website has got a list of people that you can contact that will make the ball start rolling. Is that pretty accurate, Chris?
It is, yes. Look, if you've ever had a problem with a travel company or any company for that matter, and you know how it goes, you buy something and maybe you're not happy with it, or the hotel stay doesn't go well, or they lose your reservation, and you call them up and you say you have a problem, and they tell you that there are no supervisors that you can talk to. Well, this is the antidote to that. If you have, if you want to get in touch with someone higher up, we actually have the names and email addresses of all those people. And I got to tell you, the companies, it drives them crazy when we do this. We get emails from them and calls from them saying, please remove our executive. And of course we don't, because you know what? This information deserves to be public.
Well, and it gives people a way to make things happen. So if you're stuck or you're just frustrated, it's Elliott.org. I get it in my mailbox every day. You can subscribe to it. And Chris, I will tell you that, you know, even though I'm a professional travel guy, I spend 10 or 15 minutes reading this stuff every day. And some of it is entertaining, and some of it is uplifting, and some of it's a little frustrating. But they are great consumer stories. I have a couple things on my list here before we get off track for too long. You did an article just here recently about price guarantees, and I found it to be quite fascinating. You revealed that these people who say, well, you know, we'll match the price and the price guarantee, or, you know, plus 20% or whatever, that is a real hard bet to collect on.
It's an impossible bet to collect on in some cases, which is really too bad. You know, you see these best rate guarantees that hotels and airlines have, and you think to yourself, well, I'm virtually assured that I'm going to get the best price possible.
Right.
And then when you go to actually collect, you realize that there are significant limitations. For example, a claim has to be made within 24 hours. You can't make a claim if you're less than 24 hours from, say, a hotel stay. And it has to also be in the same class of service. So it's got to be the same fare class. And you're a professional, so maybe you can explain fare classes.
No, I'm afraid
I can't. Mean economy class or business class. There are, you know, something like 16 fare classes per flight.
Uh-huh.
So all those things have to match up exactly.
And it's same thing with the hotel. If you've got a room, it's got to be a two-bedded room with the marina view. You know, it's got to be exact apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
And it, really, the worst part of it is, if you have some kind of a special discount code and you make a reservation, like, say, AAA, that doesn't count. They're not going to honor a price match on that. So it's got to be done with no other kind of discount or special offer. And that often foils people, because they'll put in their AAA discount, and then they'll think that they can get the hotel or the airline to match. Usually the airline to the hotel, I should say, to match. So it can be extremely frustrating for travelers.
It sounds, Chris, like the best thing to do in those situations, if you find a price that is lower than what you're paying, is to try to get the price match guarantee prior to, before the fact, as opposed to after the fact.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where a good travel agent can come in, because they can find really great deals sometimes that you wouldn't even be able to find online. But yes, find the best price before you make the reservation. Once you make the reservation, here's some really unconventional advice. Don't look back. Because you know what? Especially if you're dealing with an airfare, you're always going to find a lower fare at some point, and buyer's regret is going to set in. Don't let that happen. It's your vacation. Your time is more valuable.
Absolutely. And we've talked about, we've even broken down people's hours on vacation. Our good buddy Ed Perkins, who is joining us later on in the program, Ed talked about how you could break down, you know, your hours on vacation to decide what your hours are worth, and whether or not taking the public transit, which is $10 cheaper than taking the taxi, was really a good deal to start with. Chris, one other thing I wanted to talk to you about today. You are gathering some information about what you call fakers. And I find this to be a fascinating topic. Tom, you may or may not have heard of the miracle flights, where people are wheeled onto airplanes in wheelchairs because there's no possible way that they could walk down the jetway. And then magically, when the plane lands on the other end, they don't seem to need a wheelchair.
I've heard of that.
And you see them sometimes walking around the waiting areas before they get on the plane.
Instantly healed by the flight.
Chris, is it not a miracle? I mean, these are going on all over the country. I'm surprised that some of the more religious-based people haven't picked up on this.
It's amazing, yeah. They're actually called hallelujah flights, too, if you want to get religious about it. This is where people will demand a wheelchair, and you'll see them, the whole parade of wheelchairs going on the flight, usually to a warm weather destination. And then when the flight lands, miraculously, all of these people who had to be wheeled on will suddenly jump out of their seats and they are healed. They walk off the plane. In all seriousness, guys, there are people with real disabilities who need these seats. And the people who are gaming the system and saying that they need a wheelchair, they've got to do an ethical gut check here, because they are... if they think this is a victimless crime, they are so wrong about that.
Well, and Chris, I travel with a lot of older folks. My demographic and my clientele is retired folks, seniors, mature travelers. And it's not uncommon for us to have three or four people who need a wheelchair to pre-board, and to have three or four or five or six other people who legitimately, you can tell by watching them walk down the jetway, that it's probably a good idea that they have a little bit of a head start on folks. So we're not talking about people here. As you mentioned, there are folks who legitimately need this service. And what happens oftentimes, Chris, in secondary airports particularly, I'll show up with one of my groups or something, and I have a legitimate need for a couple of three assistance people. Well, these fakers have gotten on the other end, and so now the airline thinks that they need six or seven wheelchairs on arrival, but the reality is they don't. So they round up every single wheelchair runner in the entire secondary airport, and probably their relatives, and get them all to the gate so they've got enough wheelchairs so they don't break the ADA rules, and then they find out that they only needed two of those wheelchairs. So these folks are causing problems throughout the system by faking their way onto the airplane in order to get a little bit better seat. And I've noticed that this seems to prevail even more on Southwest flights, where people do not have assigned seating.
It's hard to say. There's actually, it happens more often on flights to warm weather destinations at this time of year for some reason. I don't even know why. But the more interesting question, and the one that I ask in this column, which hasn't come out yet, is why are people doing it? Of course, it's nice to have preferential treatment. You know, you get on the plane early. You get maybe the overhead bin space for your luggage. You get a little bit of extra special attention and service from the flight crew. But why are people asking for this? And this is also true, of course, for these hotel rooms that have a little extra space in them for people with disabilities, where you can get in and out of the shower. So why are people doing this? And I actually think that while there are some people who are just, they're entitled and they're jerks, they're going to do this, there actually are legitimate reasons because for trying to fake. And I'm not saying that this is an excuse by any stretch, but the travel industry, and this is true of airlines mostly, has taken space away from us consistently over the years, to the point where it's very uncomfortable for people to be flying in economy class. And so any chance that someone can have a little bit of preferential treatment, early boarding, access to the overhead bin, maybe a seat on the bulkhead that has a little bit more space, they're going to try to do that. So you see a lot of people feigning disabilities because they just want to be treated in a civil way. Again, not a good excuse, but that is the reason why they're doing it, I believe.
Our guest, Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate. And Chris, I think you're right on. That's exactly what I think is here. The situation is, and you mentioned this, victimless crime. You know, you are inconveniencing other passengers by that kind of behavior. But I think a lot of people are just trying to stick it to the airlines by pulling this kind of stuff, because for the very reason that you said, because they've been squeezing us everywhere else they can on a regular basis.
People think they're getting screwed. And so when they get an opportunity to get even, they take it without regard to how it might impact the other travelers around them, which is unfortunate. But Chris, you make a very valid point. I think you've hit the nail right on the head. A lot of these people would not be resorting to this if they were just treated in a more civilized fashion in the first place.
Well, you know, we've had this discussion before, and it extends to other things like mileage programs and travel hackers. And you know, my mom used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. It's true. The airlines are doing this to us. A lot of us feel screwed. That doesn't mean that we have to do it back to them. Remember that we have the most powerful weapon of all. We have our pocketbooks and our wallets, and we can still vote with our pocketbooks and wallets. A lot of people tell me, hey, Chris, I'm not going to travel. I'm not going to fly anymore. I'm going to drive. They say, instead of flying on one of the legacy carriers, I'm going to go with one of these new low-cost carriers, or maybe with Southwest, because they treat me a little bit better. And you know what? I think that a ticket on JetBlue is a much more powerful way of saying screw you than feigning a disability.
Chris Elliott is our guest today on The Travel Guys. Chris, as I mentioned at the top of the interview, his column appears in the Sacramento Bee every Sunday. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can get a link there to subscribe to Chris's newsletter. It's a consumer advocate newsletter that covers, it is basically travel, but every once in a while, kind of like this show, when they find something that they really think will help consumers, why they veer over there and put it on their website, including the names and the addresses and the contacts for lots of companies that you might need someday. If you just got this website and put it in your computer so that someday when you have an issue, you will know who to contact, while you'd be doing yourself a huge favor. Chris, thank you so much. I know you're an incredibly busy guy now, so thank you for taking out some time to talk to us, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Chris. You're listening to The Travel Guys on KFBK. And coming up after the news, consumer advocate Ed Perkins joins us. We're going to talk about how to make you a smarter traveler when you hit that car rental counter. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Well, I hope you have your tape recorder or notepads handy, because today is one of those days where we really excel at making you a smarter traveler. Here on The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you've been listening to the show very long, you know one of our favorite and best guests is Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome to The Travel Guys once again.
As always, it's good to be with you.
Today, Ed, I wanted to talk a little bit about car rentals, because you've done a couple pieces recently that have been really excellent pieces. I compliment you on them, and I want to talk about them today. The first one is in regards to third-party automobile insurance. We've touched on this briefly before, but you've come up with a website and a vendor. One of the greatest, biggest rip-offs, and we tell people always on this program, is the liability insurance that rental car companies try to sell you when you go in, and collision damage waivers and all the different insurance coverages and stuff like that. And most of them, there are huge markup. Ed, tell us about this incredible opportunity, this option available to car rental folks.
Well, I guess you're talking about the third-party sites that are selling collision damage for less than $10 a day.
Right. You had specifically mentioned InsureMyRentalCar.com.
InsureMyRentalCar, and that seems to have the lowest prices, and from what I've heard, they're doing okay.
You mentioned that they have a rate of $750 a day. I'm looking on their website now, and which rental car companies charge anywhere from $15 to $30 a day, depending on what kind of car that you're renting. And also, this website offers an annual deal, where for $99 a year, you can have the collision damage insurance for all your rental cars.
That's right. And if you rent cars at all, you're going to pay these days $20 to $30 a day if you buy the rental company's high-priced CDW. So these third-party sites do a very good job. One of the things I have found recently is that if you rent a car now through an outfit like Expedia or Priceline or Hotwire or one of those, chances are they will offer you insurance, and it isn't the rental company's insurance. They're doing the same thing these other third-party people are. They're renting, they're doing their own insurance, and they usually charge $10 a day or less.
Is the type of insurance any different? Is the coverage less, or is this apples to apples?
Not quite. The one big advantage of the rental car company's deal, it's hugely overpriced, but if you have a dent in the fender or something like that, when you turn the car in, you just turn your back and walk away from it. With any of these third-party insurance programs, the rental company will charge you, put on your credit card, their estimate of what it's going to take to repair the car, and then you have to submit a claim to the insurance company. So it isn't as clean as turning your back and walking off the lot.
Let's same category, rental cars. You had a wonderful article about 8 rental car gotchas that your credit card insurance might not cover. And I thought these were all excellent. So I'll fire them off here, and you give me a comment on each one.
Sure.
Upgrade to an SUV. They say
a lot of credit card policies say they do not cover full size SUVs.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay, expensive cars. Same thing.
Same thing.
Now you're talking about the credit card insurance for damage, correct?
That's correct.
You know, you're basic, but once you go RV or SUV or you go luxury, then you're no luck.
You have to be very careful and read the fine print because some companies cover it and others do not. So, nobody's going to cover a Lamborghini, but if you rent a commercial type minivan, for example, no credit card's going to cover that. But a standard type minivan like a Dodge Caravan, probably at least some credit cards will cover it. So you have to know what your credit card covers.
So if you're thinking about renting an exotic car, go back and read what your credit card covers, because otherwise you may actually need some of this expensive insurance. Vans and pickups, same thing?
Same thing.
Flat tires.
A lot of times that gets excluded. If you have a flat tire, you often are on the hook to pay for that. And that's true even if you buy the rental car company CDW.
Really? So because it's just because it's not considered damage, I guess.
That's right.
An unlocked car. Neither the rental car's insurance theft or credit card will cover you if the police report or other source notes that the car was unlocked at the time of the theft.
That's correct. It's just being careless to leave a car unlocked. You generally wouldn't do that with your own car, and you certainly shouldn't do it with a rental car with your baggage in it, or even if you're just running around town. It's considered negligent driving if you leave your car unlocked and park it for a while.
We're talking with consumer advocate Ed Perkins, and our subject here is 8 car rental gotchas here on KFBK. The next one, damage to others.
Your credit card almost never covers damage to others. That's liability coverage, and that's a different animal. Now, in the U.S., most rentals carry only the liability coverage is included, but it's only the minimum required by the state, which can be as low as $10,000, which, as you know, barely pay walking in the lawyer's office if something really bad happens. So fortunately, most people are covered by their own liability insurance when they're driving a rental car. I advise people, and this is not just for rental cars, I advise people to get a high-value umbrella liability policy no matter what you're doing. And you can usually get one up to $1 million for very little more than you'd pay for a low-value contract. The other thing people need to know is in Europe, the liability minimum liability requirement by individual countries is much higher and is generally adequate to cover anybody.
Finally, the last thing on your list here, Ed, is prepaid collision damage waivers, which we kind of addressed a little bit earlier here, but you're talking about a little bit different angle here.
Yeah, and this is a real can of worms. Many overseas rentals include in the base rate certain amount of CDW, of damage coverage. It's basically a very high deductible. So you have to check with your credit card company.
CDW, collision damage waiver, one of the popular mm-hmm. types of insurance that car rental companies will sell you. So, Ed, I guess the bottom line to this is that if you rent cars frequently, and I'm going to do this myself now based on this interview, if you rent a car frequently or even infrequently, you need to check your credit card's rules and your own personal automobile insurance rules to find out where you are covered and where you are not, particularly if you're going to rent something other than a mid-size or full-size normal regular car, then you may very well need to have some extra coverage, or there may be specific ways that you accept or decline that coverage. Would that be fairly accurate?
That certainly is.
There you go.
There you have it from a man who knows about ins and outs. And, you know, sometimes we sit and talk about this and it doesn't sound really sexy until you rent a car and you get into one of these situations. And one other thing before we let Ed go here, Tom, that I want to mention to folks is if you're ever taking a rental car back and there's no one there when you take it back, in other words, there's no one to accept the car, you've come in very early, very late, you've rented it from a car company where there isn't anyone on duty to accept the car, I strongly recommend to you that you take several pictures of the automobile from different angles so that later on they don't come back to you and say, hey, there was this ding on the bumper. And when you brought the car back and you say, well, no, there wasn't. And they say, yeah, there was. And it becomes a he said, she said. And then you're into, if nothing else, you're into a messy situation that takes up a lot of your time. So
no, that's absolutely right. And I urge people to take pictures of their car both before and after their rental. I mean, that's one of the great features of travel features of smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the phone dates them, so there can't be any argument about, well, you took that before you turned it in. It takes a couple of minutes, but I already used that once where there was a streak of damage to the paint on the car that I turned in, and they were ready to write me up and send me a bill. And I pulled out the phone and said, look, that was there when I picked up the car.
Car insurance, things you need to know, making you a smarter traveler. Thank you, Ed Perkins.
Always good to be with you folks.
Thank you so much, Ed. We are the Travel Guys. Keep it here. We're joined by Mr. Las Vegas, Wayne Newton, in 3.5 minutes.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a this one and only train. We can travel, you and me, over land and sea. We'll get to see the sunrise.
Darker shades, darling, darker shades. Ah, the applause, not necessarily for me. But for Mr. Las Vegas, Wayne Newton, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, you've lined us up with a rather super special guest. So why don't you go ahead and introduce Mr. Newton and let's talk about what we're going to talk about today.
All right. Well, we are the travel and entertainment guys, and it's not all the time that travel and entertainment fall so nicely and completely together in one little segment. But in this case, it really is true.
Well, there's in, just
just some things that are meant to be, right, Mark?
There are. Joining us on the Travel Guys is the man known as Mr. Las Vegas. He is entertainer Wayne Newton. Wayne, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you, Mark and Tom. And a big hello to both of you. And I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, and this isn't just a social call. You have a former home of yours in Las Vegas that has been opened now to the public. Folks can go there and tour it. I've had the opportunity to be there myself a couple of years ago when this was all kind of in the preparation stage, and it's just a spectacular thing. It really is worth a trip to Las Vegas to see. Wayne, tell us a little bit about Casa de Shenandoah and the history and what it means to you.
Okay. Well, firstly, I started building it around 1966. I purchased my first 5 acres of land out there, and I built a home for my parents and my brother and myself, and that's where we lived until my brother got married, moved to Los Angeles. Then I got married ultimately, and my parents said, well, you know, the house should just be for you and your wife. And so I built them another home about 2 blocks from that 5 acres. Over the years, a lot of changes, obviously, as the land became available for purchase contiguous to that 5 acres, I continued to buy it. And in many instances, there were old homes on it, or cabins or trailers in some instances. And the people who owned them and lived there were in somewhat elderly people. And so I just let them live there until they decided they wanted to move or they went to heaven, you know. And I then tore down the structure, added it to the 5 acres, and over the years we built it up to 52 acres.
Wow.
It has 8 homes on it. It has my airplane that took us all over the world on it that people can go through. My car collection of 13 cars. And then the original home and then the home that I eventually built for my wife and I and our family. And people can go through that. And in that are, of course, antiques of pretty much 16th, 17th century French, and a lot of artwork. And then it's 65 head of Arabian horses. And on and on and on. I mean, you could spend 2 days there and never see
almost anything
everything
you could want to see right there at Casa de Shenandoah. You live in a slightly smaller place very nearby now, right? And your former home now has been open to the public. Folks can come out there and see all of this stuff that you were just describing, which I just have to tell you, folks, I didn't get to see all of the outdoors because we were there after dark for a dinner. It really is an incredibly, whatever you might think the house that Wayne Newton lived in looks like, that's what it looks like. It is open now, Wayne, for tours, and you can
Open for tours, and I am really proud to say, Mark, we started on the tour advisory thing. And of course that goes up to 1131 things to see in Las Vegas in less than 2 months of the people that have visited the ranch and then rode into this to this tour guide thing. We are now at 26.
Nice.
Wow.
Of the top things to see in Las Vegas.
Now, Wayne, I understand that you have some animals on your property too. And I think in an interview I think it was described as we have animals that don't eat you.
That's a fact. We have nothing that will challenge you in any way that way.
There
we have we have monkeys, we have kangaroos, we have wallabies, we have all kinds of birds. Peacocks roam the ranch, swans in the lake, wild duck fly in and stay. And it really is, when you pull into the gates off of one of the main streets in Las Vegas, if somebody put a blindfold on you, you could swear you were in Vermont someplace, because it doesn't look like anything that you would imagine the Las Vegas desert to look like. Because desert is funny to the extent that if you can get water to it, it will grow anything. So we have artesian wells. The entire place is watered by artesian wells. And it's just one of the most unique and peaceful pieces of property I've ever been to anywhere in the world.
We're talking with Wayne Newton on the Travel Guys with Mark and Tom this afternoon. We're talking about the opening to the public of Wayne's former home, Casa de Shenandoah in Las Vegas, and how spectacular it is. There are several ways for you to see it. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, there is a link to the website, which will show you all the different ticket prices and stuff like that. I will sneak in a cheap plug here and tell you that Sports Leisure Vacations groups have already visited the home and will be visiting there again. So if you'd like to go with the group, why, we can take you there. Wayne has been performing since, Wayne, it says in the press clippings here that your first radio show was when you were 6 years old.
That's true, and that was in Roanoke, Virginia, WDBJ, and I had a 6 o'clock in the morning radio show singing and playing steel guitar with one or two other guys, but I did that before I went to school, and so I truly have been performing really since I was 4 years old, and so working is the only thing I know how to do well.
Well, Wayne, a lot of people, of course, know you as a singer, but those that have followed your career know that you play a lot of instruments. What possessed you to want to learn to play as much, many instruments as you do?
Well, actually, it falls into that old category of necessity is the mother of invention, you know. We started in Las Vegas when I was 15, and we started doing 6 shows a night, 6 nights a week, and that would be 40 minutes on, 20 minutes off, 6 times a day. Wow. And you can't sing that much, I don't care who you are. And so I kept developing the instruments in order to give me some vocal relief. And so to date, I play 13 instruments.
Well, Wayne, I think a lot of folks know that you like to collect things. You have some Liberace stuff, do you not?
I have one of his cars that he drove around town here, and I came on it quite by mistake. I was actually looking at another person's collection, and when I saw this Rolls Royce and I opened the door, knowing the background of Liberace, you would expect it to be, kind of blinged up and all of those kind of things. This was his personal car that he really didn't want to be recognized in. And the reason that I knew that is because there's a plaque on the dashboard that says it's his, and along with his signature. So right. I purchased that, and I have Johnny Cash's Rolls Royce. I have Steve McQueen's Rolls Royce. I have Bill Harris' Rolls Royce, and then I have one or two cars that are one of a kind in the world that were especially made.
I'm guessing that you knew some of these folks pretty well.
I knew them all, actually. Bill Harris was a dear friend. I worked for him literally in the lounges and main room of the Harris Hotels until he passed away. And then, of course, Johnny Cash and I were very dear friends, and I was a big fan and friend of Steve McQueen. So
there's an old story about Bill Harrah that goes something like that. When he first opened Harrah's Tahoe, he couldn't really afford to pay entertainers what they were making in Las Vegas. So he had to kind of sell Tahoe on the fact that, you were coming to Lake Tahoe, and it was a spectacular place. And he was known for taking really good care of the entertainers within his hotel. Is any of that ring true to you?
Yes, it's all true. And in fact, he put us up in a spectacular home right on the lake, which, was one of his personal homes. And then in my instance, for example, when I say bought, I didn't buy it, he gave it to me. He had married Bobby Gentry, which lasted about 6 months, I think.
About 20 years.
And then he decided to get rid of the car that he had gone, that had taken them to their honeymoon. And so I said, well, I'll buy it. He said, you can't buy it. I'll give it to you. And so that's the car I have.
Wow. Wayne, I certainly thank you for your time today. We've been talking with Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas, who, before I let you go, Wayne, I do want to thank you for one other thing here. For many, many, many years, you traveled with Bob Hope, and after Bob passed the torch to you, you have entertained servicemen and all over the planet in godforsaken places for a lot of years. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for all of that.
Well, thank you very, very much. That's truly one of the highlights of my life. If I if I had to look back at this point in time and say, okay, what's the one thing that that you wouldn't change or you wouldn't, you know, take the world for, it would be those trips. We have entertained our men and women in the armed forces in every confrontation our country has been in since Vietnam, and we were there twice.
He is Mr. Las Vegas. He is Wayne Newton. His former home, Casa de Shenandoah, is open to the public in Las Vegas. You can tour it. There are a variety of different packages available. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can see all the information there. Wayne, again, thank you so much for your time.
Well, guys, thank you very, very much. And I look forward to seeing you and giving you the personal tour, okay?
Outstanding. Thank you, Wayne. We are the Travel Guys on KFVK Travel and Entertainment, blending them all together in a special way today with Mr. Wayne Newton. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, take care of yourself. We'll see you then.